Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Luther King spoofs. Hit it, Steve.
Come on.
How does this song not go away?
Martin Luther King! Martin Luther King! Ooh, Martin Luther King!
Junior.
Equality is gonna happen. King
Jr.
outside my window, Martin Luther King
Jr.
behind the tree. We celebrate his life, you see, cause he got shot on the balcony, and it's Martin Luther King
Jr.
outside my window plane.
I have a dream. Assassinate. Hold hands in the promised land.
NAACP.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
End segregation and racial discrimination.
Jim Crow's laws.
I'm black.
Assassinated.
I have a dream.
Thanks for the day off.
Martin Luther King
Jr.
outside my window. Martin Luther King
Jr.
behind the tree.
Wow.
Do you think that Dr. King
wow.
expected one day he'd be in a song with Rick James, bitch?
Wow.
That was what his goal was.
There's so much wrong with that song. I can't even get to the beginning of it, unfortunately.
It's a tribute. It's a celebration. We'll be hearing it all week long between now and the holiday.
We have another complaint on hold, by the way.
What?
Another complaint.
A complaint about what?
Really?
That song. You want to talk to her?
Sure.
K-Rock, hello.
Hi. I just, I haven't been listening to you guys for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come back to you guys, all of a sudden I hear spooks. Spooks, spooks, spooks. And no. It's not funny to me, actually. I find it really offensive.
As do I, ma'am.
And
as do I.
Because I don't find the joke in it. It really was offensive, and I felt that, you know, there were other people that might, you know, be offended by that.
No. Ma'am, what's your name, by the way?
I just go by Rocky.
Okay.
Rocky, okay. Yeah, what's going on here is there's a song that we play on our show every Halloween called Halloween Spooks. It's a jazz song from the early 1960s. And then we've kind of turned that into our all-purpose holiday song. So we had Thanksgiving spooks, then we have Hanukkah spooks. Whatever holiday is coming up, that's the song that we sing about. But they're all based on Halloween spooks, which, yeah, the spooks are referring to ghosts. So now we're at Martin Luther King spooks, and then after that it'll be President's Day spooks, and then St. Patrick's Day spooks.
No,
it doesn't have anything to do with it. Doesn't have anything to do with any other use of the word spook.
But that's the problem. Just that word. You know,
but now that you know the context,
offensive.
Wouldn't you not be offended?
Oh, no, I would still be offended.
Well,
excellent.
Then you just want to be offended.
You are determined to be offended. We're telling you that the spooks has no other connotation other than it happens to be a parody of a song called Halloween Spooks. So now any kind of racist intent you're trying to find in the song is gone.
Okay, but do you understand how it would be offensive to other people?
If you had not
been listening to us on this entire conversation, I can understand how you could be offended, sure. But now that it has been explained and cleared up, you should be, oh, that's a great answer. Thanks, Kevin Bean. Love the show.
She has to love the show?
No, not really.
Well, you know, I love you guys. I love you guys. That's why I've been calling, because it's like, wait a minute.
Right, but that's why it's fascinating that you didn't have any idea what we were talking about and yet still got that upset.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
So are you demanding the word spooks never be used again?
I would love that. It would never, ever be
even in
used.
The context of spooky or
nope.
to do with Halloween? You want that word wiped out?
Well,
that's unreasonable.
No, I mean, because of the fact that Halloween is, like, long gone.
Oh, wait a minute.
So
you're
saying Halloween?
That. You're saying
we
Halloween is
that.
Over?
Rocky, there's nothing we can do for you. Look, there are some people who are just determined to be offended, whether they have any reason to be or not. There's nothing we can do about that. But believe me, you're the only one who's calling and complaining, the only one who's intentionally misunderstanding our intent, okay?
I'm not intentionally doing it.
Well, you are now. I mean, we explained it to you now, and it's still not good enough.
No, I'm just saying other people might be offended.
Right. Other people might be offended by everything that's said.
Yeah, no, I would be offended, you know, if I never knew anything. So I am calling to ask why.
So we explained it to you. Why did our phone screener write up, she has lawyers? What exactly are you going to sue for?
I'm not going to going to sue.
Well, then why did he write up she has lawyers?
I was going to sue if I wasn't going to, you know, talk to you guys.
Sue for not being able to talk to us?
You know what? I'm going to sue for not being able to talk to Cindy Crawford. That's what I'm going to sue for.
I'm going to sue because your name is Rocky. How about that?
I had to say something to talk to you.
Oh, dear God.
So now right. I think she's trying to help us.
Honestly, you know, you cleared it up, and I thank you because I love you guys. I have always, 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 always listened to you.
Note to self, have Omar create Rocky Spooks.
Okay. Rocky Spooks.
Excellent.
Yes, I do.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
Bye now.
Bye, Rocky.
Oh, dear God. Got another one. You want to go to the other one?
Why not?
What
we're
now?
On a roll.
I thought we settled that. What?
Carolyn?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Listen to her. Yeah. Like, you said, just like my wife, whatever I call her. Oh, it's you. Oh, great.
What?
What's up?
Well, you know, I wasn't going to call until I heard you tell that Rocky girl that you do this every holiday. And it's a song from the early way back times. And play that song on the Martin Luther King thing, like, it's so racist, dude. Like, incredibly racist. All that I could picture was Martin Luther King with a white face and red lips.
What is wrong with you, Carolyn? What?
Carolyn, there's something seriously wrong with you.
Listen, it made me laugh, and that's totally wrong. So I'm figuring that a lot of other people got that impression. And that impression
is worried about everyone else.
Listen, for just a second, Carolyn, listen. We get so many calls and emails from people who are speaking on behalf of somebody else who they're afraid will be offended. How about just worry about yourself?
What I am saying is, don't even try to put the offensive stuff out there. It's not necessary.
We're not. We're not putting anything offensive out there.
What
we have
was
a song.
Offensive?
We have the song that's Halloween Spooks. That's the name of it. They sing it. I hate it. Bean loves it. So Bean turned it into Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Hanukkah, and every single holiday since Halloween, which is where it comes from. It means spooky, Carolyn. We're not responsible for Martin Luther King Jr. with a white face and red lips in your head.
Your excuse is shenanigans. Like, really? You have a balderdashy excuse for a really racist
All right.
thing.
There's
that
not.
Know.
This word spooks, by the way, is not in the song anywhere.
It's Listen. Like, it's,
do you know that? Are we just not supposed to sing about Martin Luther King?
You know, not with the spook thing out in your tree and all that kind of stuff. It's it's trying to say he's a freaking ape.
I wish I were with Martin Luther King right now. I gotta be honest.
Carolyn, shame on you.
I wish I'd been on the balcony now that I listen to Carolyn.
So much worse than, oh, for God's sakes. We hate you all. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, where you turn for your hard news.
He said hard.
I think the drug use really has done some damage. That's the problem. I think he's really fried his brain to the point where now he can't comprehend reality versus fantasy.
I don't think I could kill 100 people with my bare hands.
Five-year-olds?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
here's
yeah.
the deal. There's a website that's become very popular on the internets, as the kids call it, called How Many Five-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight? By the way, do not email me to ask me what the website is. How Many Five-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight.com is the website. Okay?
Very easy.
And the ground rules are simple. You're enclosed in an area roughly the size of a basketball court. There's no weapons or foreign objects. Everyone's wearing a cup.
Right.
The
so
children
no
are merciless.
No
kicks to the groin, right? The children are merciless and will show no fear. If a child is knocked unconscious, he is out. The same goes for you. And the purpose of the website is there is a quiz that they have developed where they ask questions about your physical ability, whether you have any kind of special training, if you're, you know, if you have some judo in the back or, you know, right. your past or something like that.
Your personality,
they want to know
what kind of person you are.
Right. They want to know, there's a moral compass section about, you know, discerning how you would feel about fighting kids. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to win? And then at the end, you take a short quiz and there is a score that is revealed of how many five-year-olds you could take in a fight. And I was completely honest when I took the quiz and my number was 18. 18 five-year-olds.
Yeah.
It doesn't
Which
mean
I
want to do
a little high, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
doesn't mean I'd want to do it, but according to the information I inputted, they think I could take 18 5-year-olds in a fight. So,
but you'd be crying. You'd be crying after like the fifth one. Did they say that? You'd just be a mess, and just by sheer falling on them by your voluminous size, you'd crush a few. Lucky, you'd get lucky.
So we're having a conversation about this off air because this is the type of thing that people do to waste time at work. And Psycho Mike laughs out loud at any number under 100. He seems to believe that he could take all the 5-year-olds
in
the
world. Infinite. He said, oh, infinite number. Mm-hmm. They would just keep coming. I would just keep taking them out, all of them, all the time. And I said, you're an idiot. By sheer numbers, if anything attacks you in a swarm or a pack, eventually they're going to wear you down and you're going to go down. No, not me. I could take an infinite number of 5-year-olds. I could wreck them. I would wreck 5-year-olds.
You know how small their bones are? You know how undeveloped their breathing is?
I could take them all out. I went to my sister's kindergarten class where her kid goes. I could kill them all.
I did think about that. Last time I was at my nephew Mark, his kindergarten class, he is exactly 5, and I was thinking back to when I was in that classroom, and there's 45-year-olds in there. I'm like, if I just went let loose, I would wreck every one of those kids before they could even think to do anything. And now, and then, obviously, you take the rules and you change them up a little bit because these are ruthless 5-year-olds. These are not your average 5-year-olds.
They're like zombie 5-year-olds.
No, yeah. Right.
Of you, they're feral just kids.
Okay, I sat at home and I thought about this. And I'm like, okay, these are Soviet coked out orphans. These are like the baddest 5-year-olds that have ever existed.
By the way, Soviet coked out orphans playing Coachella. They're very good.
And you've got an 8-ball in your pocket and they're jonesing.
They need it. Yeah. Right. I'm the only food they're going to have. These kids, they're not going to stop at anything.
They're children of the corn.
And I took the test numerous times yesterday, and I got both between 34 and 36, changing my answers on a couple that I was iffy. And it's 34, and I'm still saying way low, easily 50. You put me in a basketball court with 55-year-olds, I will – not only will I beat them up and win, I will probably come out mostly unscathed.
You're just serve insane. Them.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
They're
Lightning's
surrounding
kid's fine.
You.
Lightning's kid, you know what? Take Gavin and clone him. And I would just go on a warpath.
But you're not Superman, Mike.
I know
you're
I'm not Superman. They're 5-year-olds.
But there's a swarm of them attacking you all at once.
You do get tired, Mike. You understand that.
I understand that.
That the 5-year-olds that are outside of your reach are not tired.
Right.
Okay?
They're coming at you.
I understand that. But as you take out one or two 5-year-olds, and if they're unconscious, they're done. So I break off the first 4 or 5 within my first striking distance. Then I have room to move and maneuver, and I can back up and check my space.
But they're coming from behind you.
It's over after that.
They're coming from behind you, idiot. They're coming from every possible direction.
I understand that, but you.
If I got a cage of 50 rats and I let them loose on you, they would gnaw you to death before you could take all the rats out.
See, now you're just being asinine. That's ridiculous.
We're talking about swarm mentality.
Picture the scene in Kill Bill where Uma has the 88s, where she's got 88 swordsmen coming at her. From all different angles. But I'm just saying, it's a room full of adversaries. Look, Ralph brought up a great point when he used the word swarm. Could you take one bee? Of course you could. Could you take 2 bees? Yeah. Could you take 1,000 bees? I don't think so.
No,
I mean, there is strength in numbers against you.
Is that they would have to all literally, like a cartoon, jump on me at once and keep me down. That doesn't happen in real life. One of them gets on my back. I shake him off immediately. Two try to get him
on your back. The minute you shake him off, and he's gouging at your eyes, and you can't see the other ones coming.
Yeah, you can't be everywhere at all.
How arrogant are you thinking you can just dominate anyone at any time?
No, I don't. I think I could dominate 55-year-olds who come up to my waist in a basketball court. That's the. I'm just telling you.
You're mentally deficient.
All right. Okay. Listen to me. If you take,
you took the test and they gave you the number and you still reject that. You reject even the scientific.
I must eat a little crow and say that I can't take infinite. Like I thought, I was seeing it as like a Bruce Lee movie where they're just lining up
in
a line, going one by one, and I'm just breaking them off.
You think your life's a Bruce Lee movie?
No,
and it's not.
No. But 50 is very. That's an average LA Unified School District class. 50 kids. Put them in a basketball court right now. Put them in Nerf costumes so I can't really hurt them. And I just start wailing. You will see. Let's do any of you out there who hate your children, or you, like if there's some orphans listening that happen to be on like a CB radio that you found in the trash. Let's do it. Come on, anytime.
All you orphans on the trash CB that picks up FM, come on down.
All right, we need to take a break. Let me take one call before we do. Kurt, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey. I've got 3 boys, 9, 6, and 3. You give them all 3 wiffle ball bats, and they would take his ass down.
No wiffle ball bats.
No weapons,
so shut up,
thing, Kirk.
Stupid Kirk.
Okay, okay, fine then, dude. 3 rusty spoons.
Listen, no weapons allowed! Clearly stated, that was the first thing I said. You give them stones, or I mean, I'm not talking about wandering through Slovakia and kids are hitting me from the ceiling with big boulders, you douche. I'm talking about kids with no weapons.
Look,
there's nothing they can do to me!
My 3 sons and my two nephews that are under four would kick his ass.
Yeah.
All right.
Especially the
sign him up on
Captain Crunch or something with a lot of sugar in it.
That's a bold claim. Bring him down here.
Thank you for the call, Kirk. We brought up an excellent point that I think you're forgetting. You're thinking about the fire in your belly, Mike, and you're thinking about how motivated you are to win. Picture 50 kids just as motivated as you are. They're bringing it also. They may not have your strength one-on-one, but they are rapid.
No, they don't have more energy.
Have you ever been around a five-year-old?
Yes, a lot of times. That's what you're missing.
And jump and scream.
They can. They have a lot of energy.
For like a day and a half.
They have a lot of energy. But they have teeny little lungs. Not only do they have no power, they have very little wind. They can go all day because they have a lot of energy, but they have to stop and take breaks. They get tired.
They don't need a lot of energy to put their little tiny hands in your eyes and pull them out.
But
they're attacking your eyes, your face.
That's what you're misunderstanding. They're 3 feet tall. How are they getting to my eyes when I'm like a Viking berserker spinning around serving them? I pick up one kid and start bashing other kids with them.
How windy would you be after the Viking berserker, by the way, for about 3 minutes, and they're still coming?
Once you create space in the basketball court, because that's clearly stated in the rules, once you create space for myself, I can start knowing my what's behind me and in front of me and moving.
They're not going to stand back and let you have space.
No, but I can create. I can jump by adults, and that's what you do. You create. Once you can create some space, you know where to move.
These aren't reasonable adults who are trying to size you up, a-hole.
What about the kids who can crawl around your feet and pull you down? They can pull your legs out from under you.
Yeah,
you can't control all of them.
Listen.
We got to take a break. Hold on, everybody. We got to take a break. We got some calls on the phone.
We'll get your point of view when we come back.
And the site is, how many five-year-olds could you take in a fight? Mike says all. We'll discuss when we return on K-Rock. But seriously, how many five-year-olds could you take in a fight? I think we're going to have to take this out of the laboratory and put it in real world and have to find 55-year-olds to take down Psycho Mike. Don't
Come
you guys?
Come on.
Listen to Nate from Torrance's email. Ralph, when I was 5, my dad taught me to grab onto the neck and not to let go for anything. If Psycho Mike had a kid like me, the time it would take him to get me off his neck, 10 other kids would take him out at the knees, then 5 would start jumping on his head, while the other 10 kids tackling him would start breaking his fingers.
No, he's thinking with a grown adult's brain, but not with a 5-year-old's body. The time it would take me to get him off my neck is, 1.5 seconds of just...
And what about the next one who gets on your neck?
And then the one after that?
Why are the kids giving you headbutts in the knees and the stomach while that's happening?
They won't be headbutting my knees because they'll be simultaneously getting their ribs broken by one kick from me because they're 5-year-olds and they have bones like little birds.
You can't keep kicking every 1.5 seconds.
Yes, I can!
What, you just do the splits in the air for an hour? You're an idiot asshole!
All right, hold on a sec, Jackie Chan. Let's take some calls. How many 5-year-olds could you take into fight.com is the site. That's the discussion on the table. Let's start with line 2.
I got 27, by the way. I took the test. 27.
Oh, did you? Wow. Okay. Well, you got the boxing training and everything. You got some skills. Yeah, good morning, Robert. What do you think?
Morning. You know, Mike, as much as these kids nowadays need a nice good beating, but I think most of us, if you think about it, every single punch you throw, Mike, is going to be with the intent to kill him. And after about, if any of the stands in shadow boxes and throws their hardest punches after 20, you're already getting winded. By then, those kids have all jumped on you. It sounds pretty accurate. About 30, even if they land up one at a time, you're going to get winded after a bit, man.
Now, what about that? You're going to get winded, and there are going to be a ton of 5-year-olds in the room who haven't done anything yet, who are still at full strength. Right?
Well, I took that into consideration, and yes, fighting is probably the most physically demanding thing there is. But... I'm not in kind of good shape. I'm in really good shape, both respiratory-wise and muscular-wise. And my adrenaline's flowing. That's clearly stated in the rules that not only are the kids fighting to the death, that I am in mode to fight to death. I've thrown morality right out the door, and this is a fight to the death. So with the adrenaline pump, I'm ready to go.
But when your adrenaline's pumping, your energy is used up even quicker. If you know anything about fighting, you know that they keep your cool in the ring, because in 3 minutes, if you let your adrenaline get you on top of the physical activity, your energy will start to burn out. It happens to the best of fighters, Mike, and you're not nearly as in shape as the guys who are in the ring professionally.
I'm not saying I'm not. But
so after 3 minutes, they're winded, but you wouldn't be, because you're super Psycho Mike.
No.
let's go to Ron in Covina. He's on line 2. Also disagrees that Mike could take 50. Ron, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? What the hell is smoking, man? Seriously, you can only take 30. And the reason I say this is, first of all, you could probably get like a few of them, but after a while, they're going to start clinging to your body. And then you're going to be trying to kick them off and throw them off, and they're going to start climbing on you.
Yeah, it's sheer numbers.
That's what we're saying. For some reason, Mike doesn't understand that kids can do that.
Well, no, what you don't understand is that kids aren't like adults and that they couldn't do that. That the level of
disproportion between my strength and their strength, and my ability and their ability, and it says that if they get knocked out, they're considered if they're
right.
knocked out of
the game,
out,
right?
Out of the game.
Knocked out.
I'm going to knock out so many so quickly that it's going to create ability for me to walk around and create and
you're
see
not
what I'm doing.
Chan, oh, know, you're
I'm
not Jackie Chan, man.
You're not. Jackie Chan, whatever.
You're going to start whacking people, knocking them out, like giving karate judo chops?
They're five-year-olds.
And they're coming at you all at once in a mass swarm. You're not understanding the concept of the sheer numbers of what you're facing.
You're not understanding that how, because they're coming at me in mass swarm, how are they going to all get on top of me? What, I mean, it takes
one at
so,
a time.
So little force to throw them off of me and keep to prevent them from getting my legs, getting on top of me, getting my hands, getting my back. They're up to my waist, and I'm not even a tall guy. How are they going to get up there when I'm constantly preventing them at
they're
all angles?
They're climbing on top of each other and themselves.
Okay.
They're coming at you like wild animals. That's the whole point.
I understand that.
They're you don't understand
what,
it.
You don't, I don't understand. I guess you don't spend enough time with kids to know how fragile that body, even a big, huge five-year-old who's, like I said, like these are like the worst, most badass, like tough thug five-year-olds. Their body can only take so much damage before they're either fatally injured or injured to the point they can't go on.
You couldn't handle 50 chihuahuas, let alone 50 kids.
Let's talk to Lauren in Newport Beach, line 7. Lauren, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q-Rock. Help us bring Psycho Mike down a few pegs. What's up?
Good morning. I am a teacher of severely handicapped, autistic, emotionally disturbed 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. And I would like to invite Mike to my classroom to take on 6 or 7 of my students because they are wild.
Yes.
And bite him and grind him down so fast.
I bet.
They will take chunks out of his flesh. It'll be
absolutely
awesome.
I like how you're offering up your students to get beaten,
hey,
by the
this
way.
This isn't about her. This isn't about her, by the way. It's about you. And I hope they bite you right in the artery in the inside of your leg and you bleed out.
I hope
absolutely.
Some... Okay. Well, that's... They're special. So they don't include... They're not included
they do
in the
have
rules.
Card strength, though. You guys got to remember that.
Yeah. Unfair.
They are card
by
strong.
The way... Mike doesn't seem to think, thank you, Lauren, for the call. We appreciate it. Mike doesn't even seem to think the way he's talking that he could get hurt. He doesn't say, he seems to think he's impervious to them biting. He's impervious to them kicking, to smashing. There's nothing
he
they
thinks
can
it's
do
World
to
of Warcraft. He gets to pick what his power is when he goes in.
And my power right. is being a strong adult.
He
and
thinks that they are not strong enough to do any damage to him.
Right, because he's impenetrable. Because
yeah.
he is just
of course
he's
he is.
Superhuman.
All right. Let's do one more.
Bird bones.
Joe is in Glendora on line 5.
We're not getting malnourished kids from Ethiopia who are coming in. Who are like, hitting you like Montgomery Burns, by the way, looking for some rice and Sally Struthers.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can find a scenario, as generous as Lauren's offer is, where Mike can actually fight the kids, the 5-year-olds.
There has to be some like illegal immigrants who could offer up their kids for like $50. Come on.
Well, let's see what Joe's saying. Joe may have an idea. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
So there's only two ways we could really come to a conclusion on this. I think the first one would be either to call the decider.
Right.
Which I think Psycho Mike's obviously probably going to lose that. Or... we could put him in the 50-kid simulator and put him in a gymnasium full of midgets.
What about midgets to substitute for the 5-year-olds? What about that?
5-year-olds.
I'm in.
No, come on.
How many midgets
they're
could you take,
though? Stronger than 5-year-olds.
I agree, but it'd be worth trying. It'd be fun to beat up 50 midgets.
You would.
Or at least
number one.
Listen, if you don't live for something, Lisa, you die for nothing. Whatever Tom Rambo said.
Way to go, right?
Well, it's really fun when you have a job where you can make all the long-distance phone calls you want and not have to pay for them.
And it's certainly worth it with the great results we always get. Kevin and I are decided that we're going to call Nepal on this fascinating story that we'll tell you about in a moment. And Ralph bursts in and says, please don't do this. And we say, why? It's fun when we call foreign countries
but
and check up on the news.
It always goes the same way.
How?
Someone will answer the phone.
Well?
And you go, yes. Are there naked women in your fields farming? Are there naked women? Click. That'll be the first call. Let's call someone else then. Hello? Yes. Do you have naked women in your fields farming?
But, Ralph, they have naked women in their fields farming.
Oh, I understand. I'm telling you, the communication will not be strong either end.
Here's the story out of Kathmandu, Nepal. Female rice farmers are plowing their fields at night in the nude to please the rain gods during a dry spell in southwestern Nepal. And
mm-hmm.
they
how
figure
can you
that
not want to know about that? Oh, I want to know about it. I'm saying you won't get us any information about it.
The god of rain appreciates female nudity.
And Kevin will say, no, are there naked women in your field? But maybe you should take this one, Bean. And then Bean will say, hi, we're calling from Los Angeles. We're calling radio station. Do you have radio there in Nepal? And they kept saying,
what's
oh,
your
no,
favorite station?
Are there naked people in your field? And we'll get that for about 6.5 minutes and then play song commercials.
You
that's
understand.
How
hey, no, you forgot the big grand finale. Give me the big grand finale.
Right.
Music.
Yeah, then there'll be a big music bed underneath
play
there.
Yes.
And we'll and all applaud right. how weak we were.
Okay.
We will celebrate our lameness.
Let's call Kathmandu. Did you know that Kathmandu is 12 hours and 45 minutes ahead of us?
And about 150 years behind us.
Isn't that odd that they're 12 hours and 45 minutes ahead?
I think I'm going to Kathmandu.
You forgot the music.
The comedy tie-in pop song. I forgot that part.
See, we got more going on than you give us credit for. We're prepared for this bit, and as Kevin mentioned, he speaks fluent Nepalese, or whatever they speak over there.
That's right, Nepalese.
Are there naked women in your fields?
Okay, good sign. Phone is ringing.
Okay. D. La Annapurna Hotel.
Oh, here we go.
D. La Annapurna Hotel.
Ralph, prepare to apologize, my friend, that's because right. you have been wrong before.
We will accept your apology in just a moment as we find out the behind-the-scenes details of women, rice farmers, doing it in the nude.
Phone is ringing.
But you forgot about this one.
I forgot about that.
You forgot about they wouldn't answer.
No answer. I forgot about that part.
It's a hotel. Well, they're busy.
Cool too. Yeah.
They're checking in people, and they're ready, getting ready for the night.
Sure.
Come on. Everything's fine.
It's what, like 9 o'clock there?
It's quarter to 9. It's not 9. It's quarter till 9.
Okay.
So odd.
And by the way, Ralph, we have other phone numbers. It's not like we're putting all our eggs in one basket.
I'm sure of it.
Okay. We can call back if this one doesn't work.
Try the Radisson.
We're already on to the second
number. Here we go. Here's the high level of success rate that this bit always has, once again, coming
through.
What
if the person that answers the phone is very familiar with the fact that women are plowing in the nude and is very fascinated by it and sheds a lot of light on it so that we can all understand a little bit more?
Ever happen once?
No.
like every time we call and ask about the monkeys in India, they go, well, there's no monkeys here.
No, there aren't any monkeys.
And we don't know what you're talking about.
We got Kevin's great part, too. Do you speak English?
What's wrong with asking that?
Well, the first thing they say, hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
You forgot about that.
What was that?
I don't know. Hello?
A rhesus monkey answered the phone.
Is this a robot?
You
forgot about the busy tone, too.
At what point do I get the apology for having been doubted about this segment?
We're a long ways from that.
You are playing on the train tracks, and I see the train coming, and you're two deaf kids
don't
from the home on the
hill. Don't you understand that there are women that are plowing nude?
I do understand.
Because they honestly believe that that's going to make it rain.
I understand.
Man, this is f***ing weak.
All right, hold on. This one's going to work, though. This one's going to work. By the way, there is a backup plan that we haven't gotten to
yet. Oh, good. I don't know what that is.
That's where Ralph runs into the other room and pretends to be the Nepalese guy on the other end of the phone.
I'm not participating this time. I'm not contributing to your delinquency.
Hey, Dave, right, King of Mexico, get ready to be the guy in Nepalese, or Nepal, in a minute.
All right, this is a good, strong phone ring. I think this one's going to help us out. This is going to be good.
You feel good about the phone ring?
I do.
Okay. I'm with Ralph now.
it sounds like it's powerful and impactful.
Like grasping at straws. Oh, good phone ring. Good phone ring.
Come on, you guys. Pick up the goddamn phone.
Did you
call these places ahead of time and say don't answer?
I am purely an observer.
Oh, Ralph screwed us, Bean.
I have risen above your little fray.
You called them and you said don't participate. It's just going to be a dumb little radio show.
You know what might happen? What might be happening right now is they're not answering the phone because they're out in the fields plowing naked.
See? See?
Sure, that's what's happening.
En masse, they're all out there as a society plowing
naked. Bring back the music.
I think I'm going to Kathmandu. That's really, really where I'm going to.
Plow in the nude.
Done this job
How come we
for
didn't
13
have you sing
years
plow in the
and
nude.
Have no idea that this is always the way it goes.
All right, let's try the first one.
Have you learned from no...
Yeah, try that one.
You have no sense
You're
of
so,
experience.
Don't be so negative.
How many numbers are you going
to
try?
You need to be positive, Ralph. You need to think positive vibes.
I did that
that's
for the first
we need.
5 years. And then year six, I woke up.
Positive vibes. That's what we thrive on here at the Kevin and Bean Show. This is all going to go really well in just a second.
As far as I'm concerned, Ralph is killing the bit with his negative energy.
See, that's the problem.
That's it.
They're not answering because of your negative energy going down the phone line.
How about all the other times you've called countries where I wasn't being negative?
Other problems. You were being negative in the other room, maybe. I don't know.
You ought to be able to call Nepal, by the way. What's the deal with this?
Well, why can't we call?
Apparently you can.
Their tourism business must be suffering. The fact that no one picks up the phone there at their hotels.
This is where Mount Everest is in Nepal, right? I mean, they have millions of visitors. It seems like they got to have a phone that works. Come on.
Have you climbed Mount Everest, sir? Yeah, that's a question that Pina would ask.
That's right.
Are there nude women on Mount Everest?
We play this from William Hung.
Time after time.
This is Time Staller.
Mm-hmm. I've done my sentence.
We're doing ours.
Committed no crime. And bad mistakes.
Give it up. That's what I'm saying.
I'm with Ralph now.
Give it up.
All right, one more call.
You are not the champions.
Right, try one more time.
You are Ralph, not winners.
Ralph, we're going to make one more call, and if this one doesn't answer, if we don't get somebody on the phone, we will apologize to you because you will have proven your point that we never should have attempted.
They think that it's going to cause rain. Do you understand that?
But by I understand the story,
plowing naked.
Answer the phone, Nepal.
You don't answer the phone.
That's what Dave the King of Mexico answered.
Dave, you don't answer the phone the country that you're in.
I don't know.
Is that a big phone booth in the center
you don't
of Nepal?
Know. When people call you, do you answer the phone, America?
Well, you know, you figure calling somewhere.
There you go, ladies. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you just tuned in, we got the exclusive report on plowing naked in Nepal.
He answers the phone in Nepal.
I'm getting out of this business.
All right. I'm right behind you, pal.
I apologize.
I'm going to chill.
I'm sure if you're like us, you've had the exact same thought every time you've seen Kevin Federline and Britney Spears on the news, which is, I don't know which one of them to feel more sorry for. Because really, they're both in such bad situations with who they have to be married to.
Oh, clearly her.
You feel worse for her than you do for him?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Clearly.
It's tough, I think.
Yeah.
But the happy kids have been together what now? It seems like they've been together like a year or something, maybe not married quite that long, but we've been hearing they've had some trouble, and they're working on a plan to get their marriage back on track. We thought we'd get an update from the happy lovers right now. Good morning, guys.
Hey, y'all. Morning.
Wicca.
Brandy, how's little Sean Preston? What's he up to this morning?
Oh, he's so adorable. He just, like, burped and farted everywhere. He's just like his daddy.
Yeah. Burp and fart, booyaka.
Is it true that we read that that your husband tried to pierce your kid's ears? Is that story true?
Yeah. He didn't even, like, ask me and some stuff. He's like, bud, taking the kid. I was like, what? What kid?
Next is the tattoo. I don't understand the problem. Like I've told you many times before, you're born a G. No. You know what I'm saying? You're born a G.
Kevin, I told you, you need to communicate more with Brittany about making choices about your children.
All right, Dr. Wait. Phil, my bad.
Something
Dr. Phil.
You have to share and work on together.
Wait a second here. Dr. Phil, are you on the phone with Brittany and Kevin?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good. Well, that was the next story we were going to bring up, as we heard that Britney Spears and Kevin Federline were going to see you for help in their marriage.
I've moved in with them so I can work around the clock, 24 hours a day, to try to get their dog to hunt.
He felt like we were the type of couple that was labor intensive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he moved in, and it's awesome.
I like it. Really? I like it. Dr. Really? Dr. Feezy. He's a doctor.
Sure. Brittany, how come you like having Dr. Phil around? It seemed like it would be a little crowded there with all of you living in the same place.
Dr. Phil is teaching us to love smart. You need to love smart
and
stuff.
You need to love smart.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Not loving dumbly, loving smartly.
Brittany, give us a little more info on that.
I got my work cut out for me here. Yeah.
Dr. Phil, how long have you been living with the happy couple?
We've been here about 2 weeks, round the clock, 24 hours a day treatment.
Wow.
And I think it's helping.
Really? You think their marriage can be saved?
Nope. What is your problem?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to live my life. You know what I'm saying? Coming up every day, keeping my head up like a thug.
Are Kevin and Brittany open to your suggestions, Dr. Phil?
They are open, and we talk about it, and then they forget everything I just said.
Right.
It's like talking, well, to Kevin, quite frankly.
Dr. Phil, what would you say, and I hate to simplify the relationship that they have, but what would you say is their biggest problem? Is it a lack of communication, lack of respect, lack of equality? What?
Well, I've tried to simplify and to narrow in on the main source of their problem.
And what's that?
I think if you work on the largest problem, the smaller ones tend to fix themselves.
Okay.
And I think the biggest difficulty they're running into in their relationship is they're both retards. And two retards together, you just get a big retarded relationship.
And Brittany, I see. Brittany, what do you get out of that?
I learned that it's not my first rodeo.
from Dr. Phil.
Uh-huh. Right, it's not your first rodeo.
It's not my first rodeo because it's my second marriage and second time's a charm, according to the Dalai Lama and Madonna and everybody that I'm reading in Kabbalah. And I'm trying to get deep, guys. I'm trying to get
and
really
love
serious.
Smart.
Smart, Kevin.
Love smart.
Love smart.
Okay. What does that mean, Brittany? Explain love smart to us.
Love smartly is not dumbly. So it's like using your brain and stuff when you're talking and you're like, okay, I've got the baby. I'm going to get in the car. Does the baby get in shotgun? No. The baby has to be strapped down like NASCAR.
Ooh. That's right. You got that right.
Put the child in the car seat.
Dr. Phil, you have to be happy hearing her talk like that. It sounds like you're getting through.
No, she won't remember in 4 minutes.
Okay.
Well, that's right. Next thing you know, the kid's on top of the car. She's driving away from Starbucks with her purse and the child on the roof.
Ooh, Starbucks. Yeah.
All right. Try to pay attention, Brittany. Listen, one more thing. Kevin Federline, as an artist, I know every time we talk to you, it seems like whatever's going on in your life finds its way into your work. Has that been the case with Dr. Phil in the house?
Oh, for Sheezy. You know what I'm saying? In fact, just a week ago, I convinced Dr. Feezy to go with me to the studio, the Disco D studio. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I felt like he's become such a big part of my life.
Right.
You know, and probably the biggest thing in my life is my art.
Of course, you know what I'm saying?
You're
an artist.
I wanted to include him in it.
Okay.
And we were riding the Escalade over to Disco D's, I found out we have a lot more in common than you would think. You know what I'm saying? We started talking about, like, how he came up,
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying, as a doctor and right. In the show business.
Right.
And then how I came up.
You guys have nothing in common.
That's what you think.
Now,
well, it turns out Kevin and I are a lot more alike than I would have suspected.
Is that right? Okay.
It is.
Now, did you watch him while he was in the studio making this song?
No, we did. I did a song with him.
He collaborated. Collaborate.
Dr. Phil, you're on the song.
Ho, po, zow.
Fantastic. What's this called?
This is called Two Peas in a Pod.
I don't know, Kevin. I'm not much of a rapper.
Oh, come on, Dr. Phil. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop comes from within.
Well, I do have a lot of heart. All right, I'll give it a try. Let's see how it sounds. We're two peas in a pod. We live off women. If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed. Well, they call me Dr. Phil. I give bad advice. I got my head in Oprah's ass like a board in a vice.
And I'm K-Fed. Britney pays my bills. I moved from Fresno to the Hollywood Hills.
Coming out of Texas, like George W., my lack of compassion just might trouble you. Getting a divorce or your mother should die. I'll charge you lots of money, then tell you not to cry.
I'm a dope-smoking wigger with a white trash flair. Pants around my ankles, braids in my hair.
What is your problem? That's my catchphrase.
I got the IQ of a monkey in a cage. I bang a fat hoe. Her name is Britney.
I brown nose a black bitch named Oprah Winfrey. Parasites of rich fat ladies.
Britney bought my Benz.
Oprah paid for my Mercedes.
Book of the Month Club, illegitimate kids. Whatever it takes to make it in showbiz. Like it or not, you gotta give us credit.
We keep our hoes in check.
Damn straight.
You said it.
I'm sorry.
We're two peas in a pod. We live off women. If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed.
See, Dr. Phil, I told you could flow. Damn.
Well, hot damn. I'm pretty pleased with myself, and I think Oprah's gonna be glad I sound so Negro.
What do you have to say about that?
Booyakaw.
Well, how about that?
Do we or do we not have another genius on our hands?
Wow. How about that?
Our CD drops next month. I hope you all pick it up for Shizzle.
Bad Religion in the studios at the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Thank you. Hey-o. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Greg, Brett, Brooks in the studio with us. Welcome this morning, guys.
Thank
morning.
You.
Good day.
Tell us about the new Maps of Hell. You got a new version of it coming out? Is that right?
Yeah. Greg and I recorded a bunch of new songs acoustically as demos for the next record.
Okay.
And then we had the idea, hey, you know, a lot of times when our songs become well-known, we'll then... And they become well-known electrically. Well, mm-hmm. then, you know, do acoustic versions for the fans. And we thought, you know, maybe a lot of the fans don't realize that sometimes we write these songs acoustically, you know. So we thought about the idea of making an acoustic EP. And then we put some classics on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting that together with New Maps of Hell. So, and I think it's also comes with a DVD. And,
how do you guys write songs? Is it acoustically for the most part, or do you... I don't know how.
I think
you and Brett share the duties, but
yeah. But we basically write separately and then come together and sort of amalgamate our ideas that we came up with separately. And Brett has a lot of acoustic ideas. I mean, he's more the studio guru also, so
right.
I kind of defer to him on that. But I have a nice room at home that with all my acoustic instruments, and that's where a lot of the melodies and the chords come together.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll even write a tune on piano. So
yeah.
Like to see that.
Come on over.
Come now, over anytime is not that exciting.
Now, speaking of rooms in your homes, that's kind of the new way the music industry is working. Is I mean, it used to be you had to get signed by a record label, then you had to sell tens of millions of CDs, or else you would.
Sure.
Now it's all being done at home.
Yeah, yeah, home studios,
Pro Tools, home studios, whatever you got.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Kids across America are able to make really, you know. Studio quality recordings in their home, and I think what we're seeing is just an explosion of creativity in the music.
Is it going to be hard to make your way in that kind of world with
cut through
thousands of bands and people out there and not as much promotion or whatever? Is it going to be possible to be a Bad Religion in the future?
I think so. You know, it was really hard to make your way in the old days because you were up against kind of the old gatekeepers, you know, and now everything's broken wide open and the gates are torn down. So, you know,
but everyone's rushing. Yeah. So then,
that's
what do you
true.
Do? I mean, you're gonna
there's a very low signal to noise ratio.
Granted,
however, you know, teenagers have a lot of time, and I think the exceptional things do stand out. You know, I mean, I'm listening to lots of good music all the time, and there's, you know, there's kind of a culture of recommendation out there right now. Kids go on the blogs and the social networks, and they tell each other what they've discovered. And when something's really great, it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a much quicker process than it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's cool.
And Pennywise, they got a new CD coming out, and they're going to give it away for free on MySpace.
Those are our buddies, Pennywise. We saw Fletcher the other night in the pit. Hey, Fletch.
He was there for your show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And
family.
Yeah.
What do you think about the whole new way that music is going now with giving it away for free? I mean, Radiohead gave it away for what you would pay.
Yeah.
You know, and then now Pennywise is going to give away for a couple of weeks on MySpace.
You know, information wants to be free, and that's how it's going to be, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
There's no way to go back to selling it, really. I mean, is that pretty much everyone has to come to the realization that they're just going to have to start giving that away for free and making money somewhere else?
Or? There's got to be a balance. There's no way to going back to how it used to be, though, for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But the balance, you're going to have to be able to get some money for the music, or you're
not
going to
be able to make
it.
Well, an example is what Trent Reznor just brilliantly did with his new record, where, you know, he gave it away for free if you wanted it in this way, but if you were a true collector, you could pay some money and get something very unique and special, or
right.
if you had a medium budget, then you could do this and you could get a
disc.
That's
true. I think I got it for $5. I think that was the medium. One you could get for free, one you could spend $5, and then one's like a collector's edition type thing.
Right. So what you do is you kind of provide things for the collectors, and you provide things for the casual listeners, and you provide a few different levels there. And I think that's where it's going. I think that was very, very smart. But it will never be what it used to be, which was really an economy of scarcity, where a few big companies decided what releases were coming out that Tuesday, and that's
right.
all you had a choice of.
Right.
You know? And, hey, this Tuesday there's 15 new releases in North America. Here's what they are. It's like, you know what? How about 15,000 new releases?
Yeah.
You know?
And then
probably what came out this week.
Yeah, probably.
That's
yeah.
probably true. Do you have to add video and stuff, too? Do you guys try to do some of that stuff, behind-the-scenes
yeah.
video type stuff?
Definitely. The new DVD that's coming out has two really nice pieces. One is the making of the acoustic EP, which shows a bit of the writing process that Greg and I do. And also, it has an hour-long, never-before-released DVD of a live show with a multi-microphone mix and multi-camera shoot.
Oh, very cool.
That was done at the House of Blues in Vegas, was it?
Yeah.
Is it a lot more work now, though? I mean, a lot more work for a band to put something out, because you really do have to step up the output. It's not the same old songs or whatever.
You'd have to ask. I mean, it's more of a effort on the record company's part. I mean, a band, if you're going to be an active band, you've got to be playing, you've got to be touring. You've got
to do
be,
that stuff anyway.
Anyway, and now that everybody and their brother has a camera, it's not much more work for the band, but to package it, to put it all together and to make it presentable, I think, is more of a behind-the-scenes effort. And I think, the packages have to be a little slicker now.
That's fantastic. And you, Greg, are still teaching at UCLA? Or?
Today is a very big day.
Yes, please tell me.
My students who are listening, some of which shouldn't be listening because they should be studying.
For a final?
Today is the final of LS1. The end of the winter quarter at UCLA. I want to say hi to all my students.
But wouldn't
and
it be cool?
To work.
If, but wouldn't it be cool if you just you went in today and you said, "Look, I'm just going to give you all A's."
Yeah,
that would be really.
Don't even worry about coming
in. Spring break.
Why do you have to give them these ideas?
But you should. I mean, that's cool.
Now it's all over the place.
Right? Be... We were talking about you earlier because
how easy that would be.
It seems like it would be. Seems like it would be easy enough for professors and colleges to. Well, to get chicks, I got to be honest. But you're a lead singer of a band. Come on.
Yeah, that turns them off at
UCLA.
We asked you.
Is that right? That doesn't work for them? That's not good?
It's a deterrent.
We were asking you last time about the students who came in and sat down and didn't really know your dual life.
A lot of them don't. They're pre-med students, for by and large. But, you know, it's funny because it's an ominous lecture hall. There's 300 students,
300. Wow.
And it's very difficult to really for any of them to raise their hand and to speak out. And it's even more difficult to say, "Hey, let's talk about music,"
right,
in
I
front
imagine.
Of that. Yeah. So we don't really; it doesn't come up. But it's sometimes in consultation hours it comes up. But
after school or whatever.
Yeah.
But by the end of the first week, they all know, right?
Good question.
I imagine
they
come
don't
on.
Share it with me.
Well, there's one person that knows, and then they all, you know,
yeah,
text each
course.
Other and
spreads.
Isn't that the
absolutely.
Guy from Bad Religion? No, no way. Blah blah blah.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's true, but they're very interested in getting good grades.
So. I'm sure they are. Yeah. But today you're going to let them off the hook. That's what I'm saying. Right? I mean. It's a special day.
It is a special day. The end of the quarter.
Right. So let him go.
I don't feel that he's
I don't
going
either.
That direction.
I don't think I'm making any progress here.
Greg, are you a strict teacher?
No, I'm not.
That's
strict.
A great question.
I'm actually.
Do people act up in your class and you say, "Stop it"?
No, I don't compete.
Do they?
You don't. I don't even get angry when a cell phone goes off, which happens at least once every lecture.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And so kids don't think of you as mean, Mr. Graffin,
Master Graffin.
No, they don't.
But they have to screw up some, don't they? I mean, I would.
But they're college students.
So
they're
what?
Not, you
here's
know,
the thing.
I was the worst when I was in college.
At this level, you know, a lot of them, it's their TAs that they have more interaction with.
Oh,
the lecturer,
you're
the
not
professor
in touch.
Is,
you're not in touch with them.
Exactly.
I see. So, you have your minions
so
do
when,
it.
Exactly.
I see.
So the discipline That's is on a different down. Level, yeah.
You just tell them to hit, and
yeah.
they hit.
At this level, I just dispense with the information.
I see.
And, then their TAs or their counselors deal with.
Are you considered difficult?
Gotcha.
Good
question.
Are they like? Are they
you know
freaking
what?
Out
I
today?
I don't honestly read my teacher evaluations.
You
so
have no
you have time
idea
for that.
If you're doing a good job.
Are you really an instructor at UCLA? Is that really happening? You're just making
just
it up.
It's kind of like our music reviews. You
yeah,
know?
You can't
it's,
read your reviews.
You can't, right.
It's
yeah.
just too hurtful. If you've sure. if someone's angry, they're having a bad quarter, and they'll take it out on you. So
yeah.
I don't really read them, but I get good reviews one-on-one. People say they've learned a lot.
You have to get some kind of a feeling, though, how you are compared with the other
Yeah,
professors.
I think I'm challenging because I offer a pretty unconventional view of biology. So I bring a little of the rebellion and Bad Religion to that worldview of biology. Because there are a lot of controversies. People think biology is a solid science.
Right.
There's tons of controversy. There's a lot of things that aren't as well established as we're led to believe. And I like to teach that. And by the way, I'm not talking about teaching the controversy of intelligent design. That's not a controversy.
Right.
That's
thank you and amen.
Mumbo jumbo. So that's not the controversy I'm talking
about. So you're saying okay. your students can get off the hook today. That's what you're saying.
No.
No. Okay. All right. I happened to notice the chairs and the microphones and the guitars and the snare drum. You guys are going to perform live? What do you got for us today?
We'd like to introduce to you the first installment of Infected on Acoustic Guitar.
Fantastic.
Hold your applause till after the movement. Now here I go. Hope it don't break down. I won't take anything. Don't give me anything. I don't want to exist. I can't persist. Please stop before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one. Please talk about no one. Someone, anyone. You and me have a disease. You affect
infect me. You infect me. I'm afflicted. You're addicted. You and me. You and me. I'm on the edge, dead against the wall. I'm so distracted. I love to strike you. Here's my confession. You learned your lesson. Stop me before I do it again. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about no one. Please talk about no one. Someone, anyone. You and me have a disease. You affect me. You infect me. I'm afflicted, you're addicted. You and me, you and me. You're clear as a heavy lead curtain, wanna drill you. Just like the ocean, but I'm running out. I can work it out, now I'm running out. Don't be mad about it, baby.
There's one thing we've learned doing this job. It's that Gene Simmons from Kiss has an opinion on everything. Our old friend Gene Simmons, Lisa's boyfriend from the band Kiss, back in the news. You enjoy when he comes to visit us, right, Lisa?
Oh, she loves it.
I like him on the phone.
Yeah, Saturday night he was in New York City at a club called Home Nightclub, and Harvey Levin's people at TMZ.com caught up with him, and there was a dude outside of the nightclub trying to hit on a girl.
Okay. Right.
And you remember that that show, The Pickup Artist with Mystery?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, guy who takes nerds, takes right. losers, teaches them how to make it with the ladies.
So that's what Gene's doing outside of this nightclub. For real, though, the guy hit on this girl by asking her if she was Italian, and that's where Gene comes in, and he's asking, did you really just, that's an opening line, are you Italian?
Did you ask her if she's Italian?
He did.
That's a good opening line. Why does it matter what she is? What
actually,
does
it doesn't matter.
Are you Italian? Hey, how you doing? What does that have to do with anything?
Can you imagine, you're outside a nightclub, you're hitting on a girl, and now Gene Simmons is mocking you in front of her.
You're so screwed.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd also like to point out, it's hardly fair, because all Gene Simmons has to do to get a woman is go, as a matter of fact, I am the bass player in the band Kiss. I mean, that's all. He doesn't have to ever worry about opening lines.
But he's helping the guy out.
There's a better pickup line. Watch this. You work on
it's not a pickup line. What do you do? Construction management. I'm the superintendent.
There you go. That means he's got a good job. Now, she looks like a cold girl.
Would you like my shirt?
Now you got it. It's a good one.
If I had a jacket, I'd give it to you, but you know what? I'll give you my shirt, too.
How long does it take for him to come up with?
All right, so he's helping him out. He's trying to help him with a little opening line. You look cold. How about my shirt?
Well, we wanted to find out what's going on with our friend Gene, so we've got him on the line on the Kevin DeMeech on K-Rock right now. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. This is Gene Simmons from KISS. How are you?
Are you driving right now?
I am. I'm going down... going down PCH in my very rare, very elegant, very romantic 1962 Dino Ferrari Coupe.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Not that you're bragging, though, right?
Why would I need to? I'm Gene Simmons from KISS.
Right. Good. Right.
I put the man back in romance.
Right. Is there any way you can either turn the car down or turn your phone up?
Omar, turn the car down.
Omar's in the car with you?
Yes.
What's Omar doing in the car with you?
Massaging my
Oh, man, that's too much.
Listen, Gene, so the story, I don't even have to ask you if it's true. We've seen it on video. So you're outside the nightclub in New York, and you're trying to help this young man pick up women. That's your deal, right?
Typically. I've been reluctant to release my secrets on picking up women. But I felt like I've been a little bit too tight-lipped for a long time. At least, speaking of being tight-lipped,
This isn't about Lisa. That's not what we have you on to talk about, Gene.
By the way, Lisa May, that I've mentioned your name, and you're very lucky that I have, by the way, I heard that you're a Boston Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
That's nice. You know, I tip my cap to them and the team and how well they've done so far. But I happen to be a Cleveland fan, Cleveland Indians fan.
Well, you're doing better.
I understand. But how? Speaking of Cleveland, how's the Cleveland Steamers sound?
Oh, come on. Oh, that was a long slide for an out.
Come on.
This is
you're
come
not
on.
Even
teaching people?
And by the way, are you in the Long Beach Grand Prix right now? Where the hell are you driving so that fast?
Whoa! Right. Whoa!
What other
almost,
tips?
Almost to the sinkhole.
All right, you don't want that. Okay, all right, Gene. Listen. What other tips do you have for the young men out there who are shy, who don't have your personality, but what a good opening line or a good conversation starter with a woman?
Well, first off, when you approach a woman, you don't want to use one of these canned, cheesy lines.
Okay.
You know, what's your sign? Do you come here often?
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Okay.
In fact, don't even approach the woman at all directly. Start talking to one of your male friends and make sure that she overhears you.
Okay.
And you're going to be talking about something very high-cultured, very, so she gets interest in you and she thinks you're someone who's of substance.
Okay, like
for instance, say, I don't feel that the modern abstract art has progressed at all since the splatter art era of Jackson Pollock.
Okay,
something like that.
I'd have to write that
Lisa
down.
May, speaking of splatter art,
I don't think.
Okay,
why?
Really
I think your
the
face
hell.
Will make it great.
Okay, you're just, Gene. You're just.
No, what,
that's
I'm
just gross.
Saying, simply saying. Now, once you've engaged the woman, she's definitely, her interest has been aroused by your intellectual commentary.
Okay.
You go and you ask to buy her a drink. And you don't do it in a slimy way. You just simply do it. You say, what are you drinking? And you walk up to the bar and you buy that. Now, don't carry a wallet, okay? Because you want to show off the fact that you have a very, very large wad of money. Women are, in fact, turned on by cash. Don't deny that fact. And you want to have a very, very large wad of money. Lisa May, speaking of large wads.
Okay, you know what?
Not what we
don't have any more time for this nonsense, Gene. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Once you've started the conversation.
More?
Of course. I don't only want to tell you how to pick up a woman. I want to show you how to seal the deal, first date, things like that.
Yeah.
Once you've gotten the discourse started, you bought her your drink, catch her off guard. Make some commentary about perhaps her handbag or even the decor inside the bar or club. Say, those are fantastic curtains right there.
No. Can't do it, Gene. Gotta go.
Lisa May, taking
can't do it. Can't do it. Gotta go.
And I don't care how much you love basketball, you'll never be so desperate that you want to go see the Clippers. Who's with me?
I feel good about seeing Coach Jackson after Game 2 in Boston. They were asking him about the phenomenal comeback that the Lakers attempted in the fourth quarter and how that was going to play into Game 3 tonight at home.
The momentum you guys gained towards the end, can you guys carry that over to Game 3?
No.
So I'm very confident now that I've heard that. I realize that that's all the Lakers needed was a chance to come home and play in front of their fans.
Look, I'm a Laker fan and all, but I think somebody needs to wake up Phil. I'm pretty sure he's not paying attention during the game.
Phil got his team into the NBA Finals.
I know.
There's only one other coach who's done that this year.
Yeah. Paul Pierce, by the way, he was interviewed about playing in Los Angeles.
Why do you think you play so well when you go to L.A.?
I don't know. I like the balls in L.A.
Yep.
Well.
He likes the balls.
Who
does? It's like he's got plans after the game tonight, is what it sounds like to me.
So during game one and game two, a certain other NBA team had some stones, some cojones, and decided that during the finals was the time to sell their own season tickets for the NBA.
Funny thing about basketball, just when you think you have it all figured out, just when you think you know what to expect, something happens to change the game. And you suddenly realize anything can happen. It's a great time to get in on the action. Clippers season tickets.
What?
Available now. Visit Clippers.com for details.
Available now, available always, available all the time, available if you walk up game time, you can get them.
Good point.
Really, during the finals, I know they're basketball
fans.
Well,
it is a huge audience that they can reach at that time.
Right.
But aren't basketball fans
right.
Basketball fans more discerning than to accept Clippers tickets?
Right.
I mean, come on.
I mean, basketball fans don't want them, and Clipper fans have thought the NBA season's been over for a couple of months. But that was only commercial one. There's some more that are set to air tonight.
Oh, are you kidding me? Really?
We got our hands on a couple of them, yes.
Funny thing about basketball, just when you think you've got it all figured out, everything changes. And if you're a basketball fan, you know that tickets for a basketball game can be very expensive. But what if you could see something that's almost like basketball, but not quite? It's a lot less expensive, but if you squint and don't look too hard, it looks something almost sort of like basketball. Clippers season tickets are now available. Sure, the Clippers aren't professional basketball players, but they're really, really close.
Wow.
It is... Clippers are kind of like non-alcoholic beer. They are kind of looks, smells, and tastes sort of like beer, but you're not going to get drug drinking it.
And then here's the other one that they plan on airing tonight. I think this one's during the second half.
For a lot less than it would cost you to watch a real basketball game, you can watch Clippers basketball. Not really basketball, but an incredible simulation. So order your season tickets for the Clippers now. Technically, we can't call it basketball, so we call it Burskitball. Clippers Burskitball. Get your season tickets now. For more information, go to not quite basketball, but sort of kind of like it.com.
Very, very effective commercials. And I'm very happy with the way we handle people who are angry about our program. I think we do it well.
We do have a very angry listener on the line right now. Meredith is on line 4, and she is calling from somewhere in Midget Valley. Hi, Meredith. Good morning. You're on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Are you guys kidding for real? I mean, you cannot be that obtuse, really.
Kidding about?
Kidding about using the midget word, perpetuating it. I mean, really, you can't be stuck in the dark ages that much, or can you?
Pretty sure we can.
Yeah.
I mean, well, are you guys aware of how utterly demeaning that word is towards little people, or are you just not?
I don't think we probably do understand how offensive it is to little people.
Although I think they get that it is offensive.
You know what? I would love to come in and give you an education. How do you feel about
hey,
it?
Hey, now you're getting somewhere.
Ask a midget.
I don't think that's what she means, Kevin. I don't think that's what she means.
Ask a midget.
I think she's pretty clear she doesn't like that word, too.
Oh. Let me ask you this, Meredith. In all honesty, I'm very curious the answer. Don't you kind of decide whether you're going to be offended by that word or not? And if you're comfortable with your size, it's not going to bother you. And if you decide you got a big chip on your shoulder and you hate tallies, then you decide you are going to be offended by it?
You know, that's such an unbelievably ignorant question that I don't even know if I can dignify that with a proper response. But the answer is no. Okay. I don't decide. You decide by using that word in a really offensive way.
But there's no way you can't be offended by it. In other words, the word is so heinous to you that you cannot let it roll off your tiny little back.
First of all, the word is not just heinous. It's inaccurate. And the fact that you continue to just use short puns is just like such frat humor. I'm so shocked that you guys can't do better than that.
Have you ever heard this show before?
Why don't you give me the opportunity to come in? I mean, I do.
That sounds fun.
I would love to do that.
That sounds like a good time.
Meredith, they're all about frat humor. You listen to the show, right?
Actually, I don't listen to the show.
Well, that explains it.
Then let us tell you, we're all about frat humor.
They are.
Well, you know, it's not funny.
We've heard that before.
Meredith, since you don't listen to the show, just for your information, I don't know why you called today, but just yesterday we were talking about how much we would like to own a midget. We're against midgets.
Oh my God.
That's why I called in today, because I got about 7 phone calls from people that did listen to your show and were utterly outraged with the fact that you believe little people should be owned as pets.
They're kidding.
Around your neck and walk you around town.
Meredith.
There's nobody big enough who could put a collar around my neck and walk me around town. See, the point is that midgets are bite-sized. They're people McNuggets. You can actually have them because they're small enough that you can keep them in the barn.
Oh, Bean. Why are you doing this?
What? Am I wrong?
I'm wrong.
Midgets aren't small, right? I'm wrong.
You're wrong. But I'd love to tell you that to your face. Why don't you call me Fun Size and all these names that you have?
Oh, good. We didn't do that one yet.
I would love to see you do that.
All right. Meredith
is going to kick somebody's ass.
I like Meredith very much, though. Why not Ask a Midget? We've been talking about wanting to do Ask a Midget. Meredith, would you come in and field questions from our listeners to find out what your experience is like as a little person?
See, you are capable of using that word. Congratulations. You just used the appropriate terminology. So if you continue to call me a little person, then yes, I would be happy to. But if I come there and you continue to call me a midget, then no.
It's awfully tempting to call you a midget, though.
But do you think you could just
But you know what? It's tempting.
Without doing that?
But it's tempting because you're being so obstinate about it. That's what's tempting about it. Because it, here's the thing, Meredith. You really get that upset over, so it's fun.
Meredith, these guys love to push people's buttons. Right. And as long as you continue to get agitated by them, they will continue to do
it. We can't
that.
Help ourselves.
If you saw me in person, do you watch the show Boston Legal?
Yes, and you're very good on it.
Okay, so then obviously you know who I am.
Yes.
Okay, so I think that if we were face-to-face in person in an intimate setting, I would challenge you to
how
see
intimate?
How many times you would call me that word, because I don't
well,
think
face
that would
to belt buckle, let's be honest.
Meredith, you don't know Bean.
Listen.
If you're asking that question.
Listen,
really
it's only, I'm telling you the
I
truth
out. I with Mark and Kim.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, dear God.
It's only funny to us because you're so outraged by it. If you weren't, it wouldn't be that much fun.
Right. If they can't get a rise out of you, they don't get a kick out of doing that to people.
Well, you know, I don't subscribe to that
so
philosophy.
I think, well,
but they do.
We're
that's
not asking you if you do. We're telling you that's what...
You don't have to do it on your radio show.
But we're saying that when Bean says, why don't you choose to not be offended by it, that would make it go away a lot quicker than calling us and calling us a bunch of names and stuff, because now it makes us want to call you a midget more.
Well, but, you know, but then where do we go from there?
All right, I'll tell you where we go, Meredith. We're almost out of time. We're almost out of time, but I'm glad you called. Ask your owner if you can come in, and we'll do Ask a Little Person. No, I said Little Person, Ralph. What do you want
to say about? You also said owner.
And we'll do Ask a Little Person, and you can give us your side of the story, and listeners can call with questions.
Okay, I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Sounds like a party.
As an aside, Meredith, I thought you were really brilliant in that episode of House where you played the mother of the girl who was size challenged and you're working on. That was a great episode.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. Very talented actress.
Thank you.
Glad you called, Meredith. Thank you very much. We enjoyed it.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
See you later. Bye-bye. I don't want to own that one, though, I'll tell you. Answering the question, when does all you can eat not mean all you can eat? Got an update on fat people for me?
Yes. Two people in Louisiana, two men, a 265-pound man and his friend, say a restaurant overcharged them for their trip to the buffet and then banned them because they're too fat and they eat too much.
Oh, no.
Is this a you pay one price,
yep.
Eat all you can, and they were kind of overdoing it?
All you can eat buffet. So basically that means take whatever you want.
Right.
Eat it. We're fine with it. Just pay us one time.
Yeah.
Apparently these guys were eating too much, so they've been banned from the restaurant. Y'all fat, y'all eat too much, is what the guy said that the waitress told him.
Now, have you seen pictures of these guys?
Yes.
Because there are guys who are 265 pounds that are not fat.
These guys are, well, one of them is strange looking. Like, one of them, the quiet guy in the next interview that you'll hear, is he's kind of he's not thin, but his stomach is way out too far. It doesn't even make sense. It looks odd.
It's like the only place he gains weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the other guy is not fat, but big. He's a big guy, you know, and you can see these guys eating a lot.
Yeah.
Healthy appetite.
Fat
right.
guy doesn't say much. Big guy is the guy who does all the talking. And they were both on Jimmy Kimmel last night, standing right. in front of the restaurant that banned them.
Oh, okay.
And they are just two good old boys. They used to go to this restaurant all the time, and now they've been banned. Here's the interview.
The Friday night before Christmas, we decide to come out here and eat. We've been eating here for about the last 8 months, maybe. Once, twice a week.
Now, this guy is guy who gives too much information guy.
Okay.
So he has got to explain in detail how this happened.
Well, the night we walk in there, we was greeted very friendly. We sat down at the table. They already knew what we wanted to drink, iced tea. So me and Mike proceed to the bar to fix our plate.
Right.
So I walk to the bar. I pick up three, maybe four ball shrimp. Put in my plate because the pan was empty at this time.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go to the frog legs. I pick up four frog legs because there's two frog legs to every frog unless they're crippled.
Right. Two frog legs to every frog unless they're crippled, he said.
By the way, only in Louisiana would they offer frog legs at a buffet. How about that?
Yeah, and what's bald shrimp? I don't even know what that is.
I
think it's ball shrimp, isn't it?
I thought it was boiled.
Oh,
boiled shrimp. That would make sense. I learned that from Forrest Gump. Yeah, that's true.
Shrimp balls. I don't know, but this guy, and so he goes on.
So I go and I get me 2 to 3 shrimp balls. I get me some Chinese rice.
He's saying shrimp ball.
He
they
is.
Make balls out of shrimp someplace.
Yep.
Or maybe there's
right.
actually balls.
I go back to the table.
Uh-huh.
I'm undoing my napkin to get my fork.
Yeah.
Cut my first shrimp ball in half, put it in my mouth, started
Hold on, slow
it.
Down. I want to get every detail.
Okay, see, this guy
oh
may
God.
Not be used to the fast pace of television interviews.
Yeah,
I think maybe too much detail is
so
the story.
I sat down, cut my shrimp ball in half. Maybe it was thirds.
In my mouth, started chewing it. All of a sudden, the waitress slaps a ticket on the table with two fortune cookies.
Right.
At this moment, I'm trying to chew my shrimp ball and swallow it. She makes the comment.
Okay, now this is the strangest comment I've ever heard. She tells the guy, she tells his friend, the guy who doesn't talk, with the giant, weird-looking belly.
Okay.
If you guys serve yourself again, you will be charged $20 per person because Wendy said y'all are fat, overweight, and eat too much.
No.
All right, so they're going to be charged double because they eat too much because they're fat.
And overweight.
And overweight.
Look, I don't know very much about this story. I did not see this interview last night, but I don't think the restaurant has a leg to stand on in this. If they're advertising all you can eat for a person to come in, that's the rule, right? That's the contract you're making with the customer.
That's what you would think, but not in this case.
I swallowed my shrimp ball by the hardest.
Right.
I done returned to talk to her again. She makes the statement, Mike Borelli here looks like he has baby in stomach.
Mike Borelli here has baby in stomach. That's the guy, right? With the weird, he looks pregnant. That guy's interpretation is baby in stomach.
I can now see why Carl Malone sounds the way he does, because right? I think he comes from the same part of Louisiana.
At this point,
and Mike, you are not, you do not have a baby in your stomach right now.
No, I don't think.
You got a full-grown adult in there.
Yeah.
This is an all-you-can-eat buffet, right?
Yes, sir. All-you-can-eat buffet.
Buffet. Sure. That's what they call it, Louisiana, buffet.
Right. And so the idea is, it's almost like a challenge, as much as you can possibly eat. Were you eating too much of one specific thing?
No, sir. I tried everything.
You tried everything.
Not everything on the bar, but, you know, shrimp, ball shrimp.
Yeah, I did mention the ball shrimp. Now, were there any signs restricting what you could eat? Or did they say, like, you can only eat 3 plates of food or anything like that?
No, sir, there was not. They did have a sign posted stating, you will be charged 20% extra if you allow your children to waste food.
Uh-huh. And the baby in Michael's stomach did not waste any food. I would like to represent you in this case. I don't know if you have an attorney, but I think I'm cut out for this particular line of work.
Well, I'm game for it because I need all the help I can because I felt like we was discriminated against. It was unreal.
And now, is there a Sizzler or anything in the neighborhood that you can go to? Or, I mean, what are you going to do?
No, sir. What we did this past Friday night, Mike asked me to go out and eat again. We wound up going back to the place we used to go to, which is Dragon Gardens. When Mike paid the bill that night, because we take turns paying the bill,
okay. Yeah.
The owner of the restaurant came up to me and shook my hand, and that was it.
When you guys...
Some story.
When you guys have dinner together, does Mike say anything?
Mike don't say too much.
Mike, you don't say too much.
Nah, I got my mouth full.
Maybe he's concentrating on baby and stomach.
Yeah. Want to live with those people?
Yes, I do.
Come on.
I hope Jimmy does represent him in court. And I hope Court TV airs every second of that trial. That's fantastic.
Because those guys should be able to eat all they want at the buffet. There are some hard, fast rules in life. One of them, you must take action when your friend passes out.
Word.
We have a certain kind of audience, and we can do certain kinds of topics more than most radio stations. And our kind of audience is the kind who, when they drink hard and one of them passes out, the rest of them, they feel it necessary to play pranks on them. And not only that, to take it a step further, the person who passed out would probably be disappointed in them if they didn't.
Absolutely.
Is that how you justify your behavior?
That's absolutely the case. You wake up, I mean, nobody did anything. You go, what are you guys doing? You're not paying attention.
You're dropping the ball.
Right.
Absolutely. I totally agree. This topic came up a couple of weeks ago on a late in the show, Kevin and Bean, What It Do Nephew phone call. I think we got a call about something that this guy and his friends had played on another friend.
So this past weekend, one of my friends, he gets piss poor drunk. Sure enough, I work in the construction industry, so I had a batch of 5-minute plaster, taped up his hand a little, and made it seem as if he had a cast. Woke up the next morning screaming,
trying to figure out what it was. The guy actually put what looked like a cast on his arm.
Jeremy, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Were you the drunkie or the friend of the drunkie?
No, I was
the host of the party.
Okay.
All right.
We threw a party. Guy got drunk. He left his shoes on, so we shaved his pubic hairs and then put toothpaste around his face and gave him a pubic hair goatee.
Yeah, Mike did that, too. Psycho Mike did that to a guy.
That's
did he?
Yes, that's known as Abraham Lincolning someone.
The Abraham, right. But were they your pubes, Mike?
Well, see, that's the question, Jeremy. Is you have to do it with somebody that'll gross him out more than himself.
Jeremy, that's a great trick, and I commend you for going to the old classic, but you do need to use you and your pubes and your friend's pubes, so it makes it even more of a burn. You don't use the own guy's pubes. You use the collection of the group that you're with.
You know what,
like in Jackass 2.
Yes, use what they call a pube conglomerate.
All right, thank you, Jeremy, for the call. Good morning, Danny.
Morning.
You did the right thing when your friend passed out and did what?
A couple of us took 3 rolls of duct tape and duct taped my friend straight to a palm tree.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
Well done.
Now,
well done.
How long was it till he woke up?
He was there about 4 hours before he woke up. Pretty much he was wearing like a duct tape like bodysuit.
Oh, I bet that felt good getting it off.
Yes.
It went around, like, we had pictures, and it went around the school for like about a year.
See, that's our people right there. You're our people.
Thank you for the call. Let's go down to line 6. We've got Frank calling from Santa Monica. Kevin
Santa
Beach
Monica!
On Hero. Hey, Frank, what'd you do to your friend?
My friend's bachelor party, and we got him wasted. When he passed out, we dressed him up like a cheap hooker in a mini skirt with lipstick, checked him into a hotel, and then nobody answered their phones the next day. His fiance had to come pick him up.
Wow, I like that. Take it at the extra step of turning off your cell phones and not helping him.
Yeah.
That's good.
So he wakes up, and it takes him a minute to realize that he's alive, okay? And then he gets up, and he goes, I'm in a hotel room I have no knowledge of coming to. I don't know why I'm here. And wait a minute, I'm dressed like a hooker. That has to have been the best.
Yes.
Although you should have made his ass sore somehow, too. That would have been the only thing that could have made it better.
Psycho Mike, you happy about that? Bob in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello, Bob.
What did you do?
Hey, it's called the flying squirrel. It basically involves stretching the scrot across the face like a mask.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of playing pranks. I don't know that I need to be doing that.
But how does he know about it? If he's passed out, how does he get to enjoy that magic?
Yeah, we started videotaping it.
Nice.
There you go. That's fantastic.
Thank you for the call. Let's take let's take one more. Let's go to Alan in Walnut, although this call scares me. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Lisa May.
Hi, Alan.
What'd you do?
Well, basically, I was a victim in this situation.
Oh.
And we went to a graduation party, and I basically passed out like around 2 in the morning. I woke up the next day. I have glasses. So I woke up the next day, and my glasses were filthy. I'm like, why are my glasses so filthy? And I'm like tripping out all day, and then finally one of my friends showed me his camera. So basically, one of my white friends, he pulled down his pants, and he was like wiping his butt all
over. On your face.
Oh, my God.
The worst part about it, since he's so white, he didn't wipe right. So he had a freak mark on the back of him.
All right.
It was the wiping.
All right, good.
At the end, I had a pink eye.
You had pink eye.
I had to go to the doctor to see what's some.
And what did you tell the doctor happened?
I tried not to let him know, because it was pretty embarrassing.
Dude, the guy used your face as toilet paper. You understand that you can never, ever take that away. That happened, dude.
Yeah. He wins. And you lose.
She's such a delicate little flower, that Amy Winehouse. She's so talented, but also, let's never forget, so beautiful. What's your favorite James Bond theme song? There have been 21 of them throughout the years. Most of them have also been big, big hit records by top stars. It's a real honor to be asked to do a James Bond theme song. What is your favorite, Kevin? Do you have one?
I don't have that category. I don't know.
Okay. Live and Let Die, Paul McCartney, was one that a lot of people like.
I love that's a great one.
I love You Only Live Twice. That was one of my favorites. This is interesting, by the way. You know who did the theme song for Casino Royale? The last James Bond movie was our friend Chris Cornell did the theme song for that one.
Oh, yes. That's right.
About that.
Madonna did Die Another Day. The band Garbage. World Is Not Enough. Sheryl Crow, Tomorrow Never Dies. So there's a long history of popular artists. And the latest, there's a little bit of a controversy about the Quantum of Solace, whatever the new one's going to be called, coming out later this year. Who's going to get the theme? Is it going to be Beyonce, as some are suggesting, or is it going to be our little beehive-wearing pal, Amy Winehouse? And we've got Amy on the phone from London right now to discuss the topic at hand. Good morning, Miss Winehouse.
Oi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. We're looking for Amy, please.
Yeah, this is Amy.
Okay.
All right. How's it going, mate?
Well, we're fine. How are you feeling? These latest pictures I've been seeing of you on TMZ.com, I got to be honest, you're looking kind of rough.
No, I've never felt better.
Is that really?
I'm top of my game. I can't wait for this song to come out and get me back on the charts where I belong.
Okay, just before we go back to the song, is that a diaper you're wearing in the picture?
I'm not at liberty to say,
okay.
Really.
Right. Okay.
Some people would call it a diaper.
Okay. It looks
Some
like it in this
people
photo.
People would call it...
A diaper?
A diaper.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good enough.
Yeah, we just call it a diaper, really.
Okay. Okay. What? What? Oh, I don't want to ask.
Whoa.
Amy. Oh, come on. Are you all right?
It's leaking.
Oh, that's
no. Diaper's leaking. I should probably change it.
That isn't.
Yeah, you should. Now, Amy,
I think it's full.
Oh, that's not.
Oh, please do that. Please change that.
I had to check the dipstick.
Oh, wow.
No, I was about a quart low.
Okay, all right.
Amy, you are probably more famous now for your stints in rehab and all the troubles with the arrests and the drugs and everything else than you are for your music. And I think a lot of people are hoping that you get this Bond theme and that it takes you back to the top of the charts. People can start talking about your art rather than just your sad, pathetic personal life.
Yeah, that's what I want too. I want to be known for the music, for the art, not for, you know, whatever my husband's doing or the drugs or whatnot. I think it's important just to focus on the fact that I'm a musician first.
Okay.
And a horribly scarred drug addict second.
I see. Okay. Now, you said to the newspaper this week, I've done loads of Bond songs. There are loads of good ones I'm really happy with. Now, of course, we don't know officially whether they're going to accept one of your songs, but you've done more than one, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It just, once I started, it just pulled out of me.
Yeah.
Much like out of a diaper.
Yeah.
Oh, oh no.
Come on.
Okay, hold the phone away.
We don't. This is.
What?
It's very unpleasant.
This is not. That's not sexy.
I have no control over my bowels whatsoever.
Oh. All right. Let's talk about the music. What can you tell us about these new songs?
Well, I've done three different versions of Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace, okay.
Which is the name of the new Bond movie.
Right.
Once the process sort of started, it just pulled out of me. It came so easily.
Okay, okay.
And I'm right now, I'm calling you from my studio at home.
Okay. Can we hear one of them?
It's a studio/cocaine factory.
Okay.
they work at both ends of the business here.
Okay, sure.
And right now we're just in the middle of laying down some tracks, so I'm very excited about
it. We'd love to hear anything you have for the Bond movie.
Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
You wanna hear? All right, this is Quantum Solace 1.0, I call it.
Okay, all right.
This is that. Quantum of Solace. Kelly Savalas.
I'm sorry.
Titan Tony Gonzalez. Cindy Margolis.
All right, you're just rhyming words now. That's not a song.
I thought you said you had laid down some.
It is. That's right. It's 1.1.
That's a terrible song.
That's not a Bond theme right there.
That is a Bond theme.
All right. Do you have another one we might?
Yeah, go this one.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah, here we go. Ready?
Sounds good.
Quantum of Solace.
That's it? That's all you have?
Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. With a quantum of solace. When I'm on a picnic, I want them to cold floss.
What?
When I have a quantum.
You're just making this up.
I've got a gun thumb.
What is a gun thumb? I don't know what that is.
Thumb. It's the skinny thumb.
Oh, I see. Okay, sorry.
I never flaunt gum.
Okay. All right. Amy, that's...
When I haunt a slum.
All right. Stop that right there.
Have an aunt that's dumb.
That's not a song. Stop that.
Look at that taut drum.
Amy, according to the London Daily Star, you have loads of them that are done, that they're really good, that you're happy with.
I'm happy with those two.
Okay.
Are you now? All right. Is there one? I hate to ask. You've already rhymed quantum and you've rhymed solace. Is there one more?
Of course, there's one more.
Excellent.
I thought there might be.
Yeah, this is my favorite. I'm saving the best for that. This is Quantum of Solace 3.0.
Okay. All
okay.
Right. All right, you ready for this?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Quantum of Solace. It's got a lot of solace. It's a quantum of solace.
Amy, you're just using other Bond themes. You're not...
James Bond once did a movie with Telly Savalas.
Can't go back to Telly Savalas.
Yes. Here we go.
But not with Tony Gonzalez.
I don't think you're ready for this yet.
He's a tight end.
Right. In the NFL, yeah.
Plays football with his friends.
That's correct. Yeah.
Hey, Amy.
All right. Amy, we're out of time.
Quantum of solace.
We're going to say adieu at this point, and thank you for your time,
I've
Amy.
I've got a quantum. It's a gaunt plum.
You have a gaunt thumb?
I've got glum gum.
Okay.
But not a quantum of solace.
Okay. Congratulations, Beyonce. You've got the gig.
I've got a lot of solace in my diaper.
Oh, no. Come on.
What is this?
Wow. Wow. Come on.
Wait.
Is it okay? Amy, you all right?
Amy?
Wow.
I just passed an ottoman.
And one of the biggest movies of 2008, of course, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. One of the biggest stars in the world, still Harrison Ford. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is out. It is available. It is in theaters. It's going to be the kind of movie, I suspect, that in a lot of theaters, you're probably going to have to buy advance tickets if you hope to get in. I mean, it's just going to be a mega, mega hit this Memorial Day weekend. I can't tell you what a thrill it is to welcome the star himself, Mr. Indiana Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, Harrison Ford on the phone. Good morning, Mr. Ford.
Good morning, guys. How's it doing?
Well, we're fine. You sound a little tired this morning. You okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
Big night last night with your movie finally arriving after all of these years, after 20 years of Indiana Jones fever. Now it's back.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like much fever. But
people are really excited about it. And so it's always great to make a film that people want to see.
Certainly. Now, you are, 65 years old now, Mr. Ford?
That's what they tell me.
Okay. And you're still, of course, a terrific actor, but was there ever any fear that maybe you were too old for this sort of an action hero? It's a very physical performance you have to give.
Yes.
Okay. Were you worried about that?
No.
Because?
Because?
You're
Harrison?
In good shape?
Harrison? Harrison!
Hello.
You fall asleep?
You're okay?
Yeah.
All right. What about all the interviews that you gave year after year after year in the 1990s where you said the character had nothing left to do, nowhere else to go, it was best to move on to other things and let's keep him in the past?
Well, I did believe that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that although the character had nothing else to offer, Paramount had more money to offer.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And so... they dangled a big check in front of me.
I see.
Okay, and, so you did it for the payday.
And Calista said, do it or I will leave.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yeah, because she's...
Can you speak up? We can't. We're having trouble with the connection.
What?
Harrison? Harrison.
She's what? I didn't make, Harrison? Make that one out, Mr. Ford. I'm sorry.
Harrison, are you there?
Yes. All right. Yes.
She's what?
I don't hear you.
Eisenberg.
Again, we're having trouble. Try to speak up a little.
I am.
Okay.
You are.
Calista is.
Calista is that woman who has her very expensive
It's very expensive taste, so therefore you needed to make a lot of money, so you signed on to do this role that you wouldn't have done ordinarily.
That's what I said.
Wow, okay. I didn't hear any of that.
All right, now I think... Now,
wait,
I think, now let me ask you...
In that show, Brothers and Sisters, so she does make money.
There's no television show called Brothers and Sisters.
I've watched it. She's in it.
No, you haven't.
Harrison would know, by the way.
Yeah, he lives with the woman. Come on, Lisa, you can't argue with
him. She was doing a TV show.
Huh. All right, let me ask you one more thing, Mr. Ford. Again, Harrison Ford on the line. Indiana Jones just opened this morning at midnight. I hear that the movie company, the reason that they put Shia LaBeouf in the role is to get young people into the theater because a lot of people who go out and buy tickets on the weekend to see a movie don't have any idea who you are anymore. That's got to be a little disconcerting.
Well, if they do know who I am, it's from other projects. But the fact is that Indiana Jones hasn't been in theaters for, you know, 25 years.
Right, yeah, of course. So, they would have no familiarity with us at all.
But it was important to get an actor.
I can you? We're having trouble hearing you. Would you mind just speaking right into the phone a little bit more directly?
It was important.
Harrison is not a person with a lot of energy.
No, he's not.
All right,
we're going to let you head on back to sleep there, sir.
I've been up for 2 hours.
2 hours? Wow, you must be exhausted.
Just got finished working out.
Okay, what do you do to work out?
I'm sorry?
I like to walk.
You like to walk?
Yeah.
That's your workout.
I like to...
Okay. Listen, we're having trouble with the phone line. I don't know what the problem is, but we gotta run.
All right, listen. We really have to go now, Mr. Ford. But congratulations on the film. It's
Harrison.
Great to have you. Well, we've lost him. He's asleep again.
Harrison. Harrison. He's tired. He's an old guy.
Yeah.
We're saying that he is not overly energetic. That's the point. If I could clarify.
Hello.
Chewy.
Yes, Chewy.
Chewy.
Oh, Chewy. Okay.
I can't hear him. I can't hear him.
Trying to pay attention.
I can't hear him.
I thought I said Chewy.
I don't know what you said.
That's embarrassing. So you're thinking about your senior prom. You're all excited. You're getting ready to go. It's the night of your life. I mean, it really is one of the best times of a young person's life, that senior prom. You're really looking forward to it. And if you could fast forward, if you could know that an hour down the road after arriving, you'd be sitting in the back of a police car handcuffed. Maybe you wouldn't be quite as excited. But that brings up the topic of prom disasters, which is what we're going to be talking about for the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
So this link is up. There's a news piece that we would like you to watch. And trust me when I tell you it's worth watching. At the Kevin and Bean page of krock.com, download Rodeo.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Internet Roundup. Get them confused. Okay. There is a girl who made her own dress for the prom.
Marcia Taylor, 17 years old, going to high school in Houston, Texas. Made a delightful dress that you really need to see to appreciate.
I shouldn't say dress, really, as much as a thread or two.
Yeah.
And it didn't go well for her.
She shook her head. She was like, "You're not getting in this prom." And, you know, we are arguing back and forth because I want to know why I can't get into my prom.
When she tried to enter the ballroom, a sponsor stopped her. She was told her dress violated a school dress code.
Your friends tried to wrap the dress around
you. Yes, sir.
They tried
to actually wrap the dress around me. And she told me I'm still not getting in because I didn't have any undergarments.
She didn't have any undergarments. It's kind of like half of a bikini.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's short.
Nothing. I don't find anything wrong with it, but
like her whole midsection is exposed.
Yeah,
and she's got those Borat bathing suit straps over her boobs. I mean, that's all the fabric that's on her body on the top half of her body. I mean, she's 17 too, by the way. She's going to a prom where they do have the dress guidelines that you have to sign off on in order to buy tickets for the prom. So she certainly knew about it, but she does look like a hooker more than she looks like a high school student going to a prom.
With nothing underneath.
So how about if I wrap it around? Well, you don't really have underwear, so no.
Oh my God.
So things went from good to worse.
What did you think of that?
I asked her, what's her problem? Because I had some.
At that point, Marcia Taylor says she was furious. After all, this was her senior prom. She argued if she couldn't get in, then she wanted her money back. She says things got so bad that at some point, someone called the police.
And so your only prom picture, really?
Yes. Is in handcuffs. They didn't give me any options but to go to jail or go home.
Well, they should have given her money back, for God's sakes.
I would think so, too. I don't know how that works.
I mean, she spent all that cash first on making that dress.
Oh, well, there wasn't much cash, right? There was not much dress.
Buying that 1 yard of fabric.
But, yeah, there's 80 cents to buy that yard of fabric and then wrap it around your body. You got that expense right there.
Yeah, exactly.
But how great is that? The only picture you have from your prom is in handcuffs.
In the back of a police car.
Not the good kind.
I hope that's not what her future holds for her.
No, clearly it isn't.
That's great. Let's try Jesus in Los Angeles. He's on line 8. We're talking about prom disasters you never could have pictured when you left the house that night, the way the evening was going to end. Jesus, go ahead.
Yeah, basically, like, my my history professor, we were good friends, but eventually he kind of, like, pushed me to ask this girl out that I was kind of interested in. He actually was dating the girl, so the only reason he pushed me to ask her out was just to cover his tracks. At prom, he just snaps completely and just starts beating the snot out of me. In the middle of, like, me and her dancing. And after that, all I can remember is me at Denny's eating pancakes after that.
This was a teacher who was beating up a student in the middle of the dance floor at the prom?
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Good times.
Yeah, and thanks for the call.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, King of Mexico was talking in the other room yesterday. What did he say, Mike? He said he left her?
Left
his date?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She was lucky that I even asked her.
I left her there.
He said it was her fault because she agreed to go with him.
I don't even know how she got home.
He remember it was funny.
I remember waking up and I'm like, oh, man, how'd she get home?
God.
Let's talk to Jessica on line 3. Her prom night disaster was directly resulted in her not being able to graduate, which isn't really what you're looking for. Hey, Jess, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Good. What happened on your prom, dude?
Well, basically, a bunch of us, mostly half the school, left prom to go to this crazy after party, and the party host had a lot of drugs, party got raided, and about 30 of us got arrested.
Good times.
And maybe about half the people that were at that party, so I would say maybe like 100 people, did not get to graduate on stage.
100 people?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because what happened was, like, you know, the school questioned everybody, and, you know, for those of us who weren't graduating, we're like, oh, well, so-and-so was at the party, so why should they get to graduate? And so it went on and on.
Excellent.
Dude, a party where 30 people get arrested, that's a party.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. Don't get to graduate. So at least you didn't put in all that work for nothing.
Yeah.
Let's say good morning to Amy in Irvine. Good morning, Amy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa.
Hi, Amy.
What happened on your prom?
Okay. I had a high school boyfriend who was kind of cheating on me, so I ended up not going to prom with him. But I was on prom court, and all my friends were like, you have to go. So I ended up going with a guy that I didn't know very well. And come to find out that he had to go home early that night, and sometime after prom, he ended up shooting his dad in the head.
What?
Rolling his dad's body in carpet, hiding him in the garage for a couple weeks, and the day we got our prom pictures back at school was the day he was arrested at school, and the police officers took our pictures, and they were splashed all over the evening news, and it said, high school student killed father tonight at 11, and it didn't say which high school student, it was just a picture of him and me.
From the prom?
That's awesome.
God.
Now, I'm sure you've replayed every minute you spent with this guy over the years. Was there any indication that he had that kind of a bitter feud going with his dad, or that he was a violent person, or anything like this might happen?
Well, he was a grade younger than I was, so I was a senior and he was a junior, but he was all varsity sports, and I was a cheerleader, so I would cheer at all the games, and I saw the pressure his dad would put on him at all of the games. You know, if he'd hit a home run, it wasn't good enough. It was the time that he didn't make it to base that was the big issue, and his dad would kind of push him around a little and stuff like that. So,
wow.
Ugly.
We knew that there was, like, an intense situation going on, but no one knew exactly
Tonight at 11, one of these two people killed their parent.
Exactly.
Wait till you find out which one it is.
We're not going to tell you now.
The phone was ringing off the hook that night.
That's awesome.
That is such a great story. We want you to hold on. We're going to give you some Afrocentric porn, okay?
Very nice.
Don't go away.
Okay, congratulations.